Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vai Bhava ki, Radharaj Srina Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Goprema Nandi. So there's no class next Monday and Tuesday, because I'll be in New Zealand. I have to go for a wedding. So no class. Next Monday is the next week after we resume. But then I still have some exams to give out, so if anyone did not get their exam last night, then you can get it tonight if you'd like it. Okay, so what did we discuss last night in the class?
Then Supreme Brahman was situated in the heart of Guru Maharaj while he was praying to the Lord. He became so heavier than and his weight was heavy, to the whole, all the three words and future words, they were trembling.
Good. Any other points?
Guru Maharaj first controlled his senses, and after that, then he controlled his mind from all the material things. He withdrew it by the breathing process. And then he fixed his mind on the form of the Lord. And then he captured the Lord. And then he became very heavy. And then what he did, he closed all his openings from the body, and by then what happened that the whole universal breathing got choked, and everybody, all the demigods, they got frightened and they went to Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu said, well, ask the Guru Maharaj, he is doing very severe austerity. And so they got pacified, and then, you know, with the power of Srimaharaj, he compared that to the power of a pure devotee. He said, if one devotee is pure devotee, becomes pure Krishna conscious, then he can change the whole consciousness of the world, and everybody just can become Krishna conscious.
Good. Good summary. Any other points?
Can I ask you, is Guru Maharaj, is Dhruva the post, like Mani is the post, Indra is the post? So is it that in every millennium somebody is becoming in Dhruva? Or is it once in the history of the creation?
It took place. We'll have to see. It describes in a few chapters time about him residing at the pole star. So as far as I understand, it's not so much a position like that, not like a Manu or a Brahma. Not so much like a position, but it describes that when he reaches the pole star is not destroyed. So his life there is longer. So it's like a unique situation. I'm not sure if it comes up again and again. Or such as I.
The cause of sickness in this case is overeating and breathiness and mental anxiety.
Try to avoid them. Okay. Any other points?
Srila Prabhupada has also said that in this age it's difficult to do the charity like Guru Maharaj. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us so many temptations, and it's better to follow the devotional process as instructed by the spiritual master, and we don't have to come back to this world again.
Any other points?
essence of a person lies in following the instructions of the spiritual master.
Very good. Anything else?
The same point, Srila Prabhupada is saying that we don't have to come back again, what I said in the morning class also. You can finish everything within this life and go to, back to body. From this very body.
So at the beginning of the chapter, we saw the description of the brahmachari sons of Lord Brahma, and then we saw the description of the creation of the inauspicious qualities by Lord Brahma. And then the two sons of Swayambhu Manu, Uttanapad and Priyavrata, were discussed. And Uttanapad's son, whose name was Dhruva, was mentioned. And the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj was narrated by Maitreya Muni, who was inspired to speak about a pure devotee. Because the Bhagavatam is especially discussing pure devotional service. So then, it's described that Dhruva Maharaj was heavily insulted by Suruchi and approached the forest on the advice of his mother and began to, with the intention to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went to the forest, and then at that time he met Narad Muni, who is his guru, and Narad Muni instructed him that he should not try for such austerities, but rather he should go back to the palace. But Dhruva was extremely determined, and therefore he stayed in the forest, and he was instructed by Narada to perform devotional service, different types of devotional service, in order to become perfect. So then, after being instructed by Narada, then Dhruva Maharaj went to Madhuban and began to perform the activities which were instructed to him by his guru. So Prabhupada points out this is the secret of success in spiritual life, that we must follow the instructions of our spiritual master. And in this way we will attain all perfection. Dhruva Maharaj performed severe austerities, which are not possible for us, so Prabhupada points out that we simply have to follow the minimum standards that were set out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we do this, then we can become perfect in our devotional practices. So, Narad Muni, he went to visit Uttanapad, the father of Dhruva Maharaj, said there is nothing to worry about, because Dhruva Maharaj is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So then, the chapter finishes with Dhruva Maharaj's description of his austerities, and tonight we'll begin chapter 9 and go from verse 1 to 9. Okay. There's no class next week for those of you who came in late. Okay. I have to go to New Zealand for a week after.
Okay. I also have some exams for those who didn't get them last time, so if you remind me, if you didn't get your exams, you can get them.
I've got a question from you.
Yeah.
You first said that when you are doing the mantra, then you should meditate on the form of the mouth. Or you can, it's the same as the pastimes of the Lord. So, does it mean we can meditate on the pastimes of the Lord? Or can we just meditate like
is that the same, meditating on the pure devotee's pastimes and the Lord's pastimes?
Yes.
Yeah, same potency. Just like if you read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, that's as good as reading the Krishna book. It has the same potency. Because Krishna and Krishna's devotees have the same potency. Yeah.
So
you can meditate on the pure devotee in order to get inspiration to become Krishna conscious. Okay. By meditating on the pure devotee, that will lead you to meditating on Krishna. By meditating on the spiritual master, that will lead you to meditating on Krishna. Therefore, we should meditate on the guru, and by meditating on the guru and his instruction, that will lead us to Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
Okay. And all the pure devotees, which are mentioned. Just like, you know, sometimes I've been meditating the last few months on Dhruva Maharaj and his example and so forth. And this helps you, inspires you to become more Krishna conscious. The Bhagavad Gita, all these pure devotees, they lead us to Krishna. That's the point.
Can I ask a question? What is the difference in terms of what happens in the universe when a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj performs intense austerity to a demon like Hiranyakashipu who performs in austerity? The whole universe is shaken in both situations. So what is the difference in terms of what's happening in the universe? Because the flames keep coming to the body of Hiranyakashipu also.
Yeah, because both of them are extremely potent. Like that, Hiranyakashipu is giant in the spiritual world. He's one of the Lord's associates, like that, so extremely powerful.
No, but in the body of Hiranyakashipu is not a devotee, so therefore he is but still performing intense austerity. Oh. So in terms of austerity, both are performing, but then...
So it just shows how potent the personality is, because Dhruva is so potent that he affects the entire universe. Hiranyakashipu is so potent that he affects the entire universe. Any other points? Okay. So chapter 9 is called Dhruva Maharaj returns on ki. The great trait, the great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the demigods were thus reassured by the personality of Godhead, they were freed from all fears, and after offering their obeisances they returned to their heavenly planets. Then the Lord, who is non different from the Sahasra Shirsha incarnation, got on the back of Garuda, who carried him to the Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva. So, at the end of the previous chapter, Dhruva Maharaj has become so powerful that his weight is pressing down on the entire earth. And by his breath control, he is taking all the oxygen out of the universe. So now the demigods have gone to the Lord and they say, what is happening? We don't understand. We cannot breathe. All the living entities in the universe are beginning to suffocate. So now it is described in this chapter that, in the beginning, that the Lord has said to the demigods, be peaceful. Everything is okay. It is simply Dhruva. I will go and visit him, and I will make him finish his austerities so that the universe can go back to normal. Okay. The form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning, and in which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogi processes, was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus Dhruva was perturbed and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart. Jamuna Lila, do you want to read them?
Because of his mature position in yogic meditation, Dhruva Maharaj was constantly observing the form of the Personality of Godhead within his heart. But all of a sudden, when the Supreme Personality disappeared from his heart, he thought that he had lost him. He was perturbed, but upon opening his eyes and breaking his meditation, he saw the same form of the Lord before him. In the Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is said, Premanjana Kesava Bhakti Vilochanena. A sainted person who has developed love of Godhead by devotional service always sees the Lord's transcendental form of Shyamasundara. This Shyamasundara form of the Lord within the heart of a devotee is not imagination. When a devotee becomes mature in his prosecution of devotional service, he sees eye to eye the same Shyamasundara he has thought of during the entire course of his devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is absolute, the form within the heart of a devotee, the form in the temple, and the original form in Vaikuntha, Vrindavan Dham, are all the same. They are non-different from one another.
So what points come out here?
One Lord, different form?
Yeah, you can say about that. Any other points?
A pure devotee sees the Lord face to face. He can, he is able to see the Lord face to face.
Good.
A pure devotee who has got the love of God, he is always dancing to move and sees Lord everywhere. As Prabhupada is mentioning all the time, Lord Krishna. That becomes realized by God.
Yes, the Lord disappear from inside, appear outside, so this statement.
Yeah, we'll explain what that means. Any other points?
In the previous part, it is said that the Lord who appeared was Krishna Dharma, who created the Loka. So, can you tell us something about Krishna Dharma? Who is Krishna Dharma?
Krishna Gavi means it's a Narayan form of the Lord. I don't know any details about the form, but it's described that the Lord holds his conch, disc, club and lotus in different positions. And when he holds them in different positions, then he's known as different names. So Prishnagarbha is one of the Narayan forms. I don't know any I don't know any details about that. Any other points? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear this pastime from Gadadhar Pandit again and again and again. Chaitanya Bhagavat says that he has heard this pastime hundreds of times. So what we're hearing now in the beginning of this ninth chapter is a description of pure Krishna consciousness. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us pure Krishna consciousness. It teaches us how to attain the goal of life, and what is the goal of life? The goal of life is to see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada explains, just like Mother Yashoda takes Krishna by the hand, then when you become a pure devotee, you can also take Krishna by the hand and lead him around. So this is the goal, and the process to achieve the goal is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it describes the highest levels of God consciousness, the highest levels of spiritual realization that are discussed in the Bhagavatam. So it is described here that one who has developed his Krishna consciousness fully, he can see Krishna within and without at all times. For the pure devotee, he sees the Lord within his heart. So Dhruva Maharaj is seeing a Narayan form of the Lord. The Paramatma, the Super Soul within the heart, has a Narayan form. Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Okay, he has the form of four arms, as Lord Narayan does in Vaikuntha, holding the disc, the club, the lotus and the conch, like that. So that is the form of the Lord which is present within the heart. But when one has love or prema fully developed for a particular form of the Lord, then he will see within the heart, he will see that particular form of the Lord. So Prabhupada mentions within the Bhagavad Gita that for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we should meditate upon Krishna in Vrindavan, and we should not deviate our consciousness even to other forms of the Lord, Prabhupada explains. We shouldn't even meditate on different forms of the Lord. We should just concentrate on Krishna in Vrindavan. This was the consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, the devotees who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must also want to aspire for this type of absorption in Krishna in Vrindavan. Brajendra Nandana, the son of the king of Braj. So, when someone is a pure devotee, they will see Krishna within the heart. When they look within the heart, and because of their pure devotion, they will see Krishna where Paramatma would normally be. And wherever there is Krishna, there is Radharani. Wherever there is Radharani, there is Vrindavan. So you see everything. The entire spiritual world is in your heart. One time the devotees were saying this to Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, is Krishna in our heart? This is very early, like 1968, 1966 maybe even. Very early in the movement. The devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is Krishna in our heart? Prabhupada said, yes. So then they said, that means Radharani is in our heart. And Prabhupada said, yes. They said, then that means that Vrindavan is in our heart. And Prabhupada said, yes. So they said, that means the entire spiritual world is in our heart. And Prabhupada said, yes, you have understood. But it is a matter of realizing it. So Krishna consciousness does not mean changing your position. This is the teaching of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We don't have to change our position. We don't have to change our location. Krishna, we are already with Krishna. We have to realize that. We are already in Vrindavan. We have to realize that. It is not a matter of going somewhere else. This is what the Brihad Bhagavatamrita taught. Gopal Kumar travelled all over the universe. He went from Earth to Indraloka, to Brahmaloka, to Shivaloka, all through Vaikuntha, to Dwarka, and finally to Vrindavan. And when he got to Vrindavan, he realized that that same Krishna is within his heart. It is that same personality. So we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to change our location. We just have to develop our Krishna consciousness. How do we develop our Krishna consciousness? By sadhana bhakti. So therefore we practice, and by sadhana this leads to sadhya. This is the teaching of Rupa Goswami. So we have to develop this type of Krishna consciousness. Now, when one is a pure devotee, he sees Krishna within the heart. In 1977, when Prabhupada was finishing his pastimes in this world, then the devotees came to him at one point, I think in maybe around about September, and the devotees said to Prabhupada, please stay, we do not want you to go. And Prabhupada said, I will ask Krishna. And Prabhupada closed his eyes for 3 or 4 minutes, and then he opened his eyes and he said, Krishna said he will leave the decision to me. It is my decision whether I stay or whether I go. Okay. So that means Prabhupada was directly speaking to Krishna. One time the devotee said to Prabhupada, do the Brijbasis have a guru? And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is their guru. Because when you become a pure devotee, then Krishna, you directly get instruction from Krishna within the heart. So this is pure devotional service. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that the same Lord who is in Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, the same Lord who is standing 20 metres from us in the temple holding his flute, and the same Lord who is in our heart, it is the same person. That person who is standing over there in the temple, just there, that is the same person who is in Goloka Vrindavan, that is the same person who is in our heart. But we have to develop the qualification to see him. Because we see the deity, we see Balabha, but we don't realize it is Balabha. Right? We see him, but we don't realize it is him. Right? We see him as being inanimate. Means he does not move. But when a pure devotee sees him, he sees him as animate. Right? Krishna doesn't just stand like that all the time. Right? He moves. He doesn't just stand there. He's constantly moving. It describes that his eyes are like the eyes of Krishna and the eyes of Radharani are like the eyes of a deer. Right? A deer is always looking around, right? Never still. That's what Krishna is like, that's what Radharani is like. So, when one becomes qualified, premanjana chirita bhakti vilochane, and when one's eyes are tinged with the salve of love, then one will see that Krishna. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shedding tears when he was hearing this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Because Dhruva Maharaj saw Paramatma within his heart, and then suddenly he disappeared. And then he opened his eyes, and then Paramatma was standing right in front of him. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the goal. Narad Muni gave the process in chapter 8, and that is the Abhideya, right? And the Prayojana is now being realized. But because we're only in Canto 4, then who does he see? He sees Narayan. But in Canto 10, who do we see? Krishna. Like that. We see Narayan in the beginning of Canto 10. He appears in the prison of Kamsa, right, as Narayan. But very quickly he changes into Krishna. And then you get carried across the river to? To Gokul, right? And when he gets to Gokul, then that Vasudev Krishna merges into Shyamasundara, right? Who has already been born in Gokul from Yashoda Mayi. So then that Krishna from Mathura, he merges into the original Krishna. Because the original Krishna is Vrajendra Nandana. That is the original Krishna. And everyone else is the expansion of that personality. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So in the fourth canto, we've been taught the goal of Krishna consciousness. It is to see Krishna face to face. Hands up if you want to see him face to face. Then you have to get more serious. You have to start chanting your rounds more seriously. If you want to see him face to face, then you have to become serious as a devotee. You want to see him, but that is just sentiment. If you're sentimental, then you won't see him. You have to develop intense greed to see him. Rupa Goswami says this is the price to pay. Lobha. Lobha means intense greed. Right? You have to become intense in your devotion. So this is how you see Krishna. He's not cheap. Any question or comment so far?
Like Prabhupada is saying when you are
They both are good, but in our tradition we worship Radha Krishna. That's our mood. Not that one is wrong, one is not wrong, but in our tradition we worship Radha Krishna. You see, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, the direct followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they installed Radha Krishna. It was not that Bal Gopal was installed. We have Radha Damodar, Radha Shyamasundara, Radha Gopinath, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda. So this is our mood in our sampradaya. So generally we worship like that. Some of the other sampradayas, they emphasize the worship of Bal Gopal. It's not wrong, but it's just a different room. Particularly the devotees in Vatsalya Rasa, then he will worship like that. But in our line, we tend to worship Radha Krishna. In our line, we want to see Krishna with Radharani. That's our mood. We want to serve Radha Krishna.
But Radhika is always in his heart.
Yeah, of course, she's always in his heart. But the Goswami, Prabhupada installed Radha Vallabha. These deities are installed by Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah. Sounds of washing the renown by committing to Maharaj and other Maharaj. So there, Maharaj is basically telling that his Bhagavatama form does not actually exist in the spiritual world. In Goloka Vrindavan, all the pastimes are concentrated around the Kaitara form. So he was just describing the 3 to 4 main differences between Bhagavan Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. And one of the things he says is that his childhood pastimes just manifest only when is
going to now. And
Krishna appears to be Lord. And this performs how he does. In Krishna comes to earth.
Okay,
so. In Goloka, in the spiritual world, then he remains eternally as Kaishora. Which means he's eternally 15, 16. Mother Yashoda, she feels like he is the baby. She feels like he is young, like he's Kolmara. And his friends feel like he's Paul Gunda. And the gopis feel like he's Kaishora. Like that. But in the spiritual world, he's only Kaishora. He doesn't show the other forms. But they feel that he is Kolmara, or they feel he is Paul Gunda. Okay, so.
interesting to see that Gurjana Brahman somewhere in lotus feet has only Murali Krishna, not Krishna Brahman.
Interesting.
According to Abhidharma Guruswami, that means if somebody follows Pushti Marga, Vallabh Sampradaya, what is the eternal position in the spiritual world? The question mark is, what is the same of David, they will always worship Lord in the form of a baby. So, do they not have eternal position in the spiritual world? Because the pastimes are
No, no, because we just said that in the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda, she feels like he's Kaumara. Even though he's Kaishora, means he's 16, but she feels like he's 5. Well, that's how she always feels. And his friends feel like he is 10. Paul Gunda. But actually, he only shows Kaishora at age. Like that. So the feeling is still there.
One of the translations is that let your childhood pastimes be always enacted in the heart.
Yeah, because the pastimes in Valma Vrindavan or Gokul Vrindavan in the earthly realm, and when Krishna comes, Krishna was in this particular universe in Prakat Leela, manifest pastimes 5,000 years ago, which means he's at some point in time now, he's in one of the other universes, like that. So he's eternally performing these pastimes in the material realm. So these pastimes are eternally there. So the devotee may be meditating like that. Then you see that again and again. Because those pastimes are eternally taking place. It says, for the devotees in Madhurya Ras, then they are... The pinnacle of the pastimes in Madhurya Ras is the Rasa Lila. And the pinnacle of the pastimes in Vatsalya Ras is Damodara Lila.
Just now you're saying that his favorite pastimes continuously goes on in Sankara Vinyas. Does that mean that when Mahavishnu inhales, for that point of time in some universe, before that, Krishna
realized
Brahma?
When he what?
Because you were saying that in some this lila is going on continuously in some part of the universe. Like currently in some universe, Krishna realized Brahma, chariot pastime. Does that mean that when Mahavishnu inhales, so in some part of the universe, that lila is going on still?
When he inhales means when all the universes go back in his body, then it's no longer prakat, it's no longer manifest, everything is unmanifest at that point.
So the question is, you can't inhale when the pastime is going on.
Yeah, he waits for the pastime to finish and then he inhales. Is that your question?
Some other universe.
What's that?
In some other universe, when one universe is done, then it starts
from
some other universe.
Huh? Between Mahavishnu and Krishna, they work it out together. Krishna says now, and he says okay, move on. They work it out. They're quite intelligent, the pair of them. So work these things out. The holy dharmas are never destroyed. Dwarka and Mathura and Vrindavan and Mayapur, and they're all eternal dharmas. They're never destroyed. So they become unmanifest at that time. You know, when everything goes back in the Lord, then everything becomes unmanifest. As soon as it comes out, they're eternally manifest. Same as up there. So there are some slight differences. Any other points?
So we've seen Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, that whole pastime of Raghunandan Thakur, then, you know, Krishna actually leads, so that Laddu Gopal's form has come from that, you know, Mukul Buddha's son. So that means Mukul Buddha's form...
It's on the Chaitanya Charitamrita though, is it? The whole pastime is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maybe there's a mention of it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
But Mukunda, that was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
And his son, with his son, that pastime was.
Two plus, yeah. But it's not described elaborately in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It may be mentioned something in the purport or something.
So Mukunda, that means was worshipping Valgopal form of Krishna, isn't it? for Abhinandan Thakur because that laddu was not half finished in the hand and then that he could take it. So he must be worshipping Bhargava Thakur.
I don't know. Not sure. Not sure. Have to do some research and find out. So, any other points?
So, Brahma is actually saying the form of the law. Is it the same for Prema and Shandarasa? Because he is just meditating and he has attained the stage of perfection whereby he is able to see the law. But there is no service. So, is it a very low consciousness of Prema? Is it?
Yeah, it's Shantaras at this point in time. In this point in time. And then he goes to Dhruva Loka. And the Lord goes there to associate with him, isn't it? Isn't there, there's eternal, it'll be described as we go on. There's eternally a fall with the Lord on Dhruva Loka with him. Like that. So then maybe at that point maybe it becomes like Dasya. Like that. But at least at this point in time when it's meditation up until exactly this point it's Shanta. Like that. And it may go to Dasya Ras in Dhruva Loka. We'll have to find out the details in Dhruva Loka. So.
Even now we could be in the Dasya Ras, isn't it? Mentally.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, it
could
be Shantaras.
No, it's Shantaras at this point because he's meditating on the form of the Lord. That's Shanta. Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that Shantaras means. Sometimes an example of Shantaras is the Paramatmavadis or the yogis who meditate on the Lord. That's Shanta. They may have bhakti, but there's no service being rendered. So, like that.
Sometimes it changes
his consciousness and his for the Lord. Yeah, so we'll see what the description is, what takes place. When Dhruva Maharaj saw his Lord just in front of him, he was greatly agitated and offered him obeisances and respect. He fell flat before him like a rod and became absorbed in love of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj in ecstasy looked upon the Lord as if he were drinking the Lord with his eyes, kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth and embracing the Lord with his arms.
Naturally, when Dhruva Maharaj personally saw the Krishna with God face to face, he was very much agitated in awe and respect, and it appeared as if he were drinking the entire body of the Lord with his eyes. The devotee's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so intense that he wants to kiss the lotus feet of the Lord constantly, and he wants to touch the lips of the toes of the Lord and constantly embrace his lotus feet. All these features of Guru Maharaj's bodily expression indicate that upon seeing the Lord face to face, he developed the eight kinds of transcendental ecstasy in his body.
What are the points in this purport?
Just clearly mentioned that this is Dasya, because he's seeing the Lord in awe and reverence. That's Dasya.
You have to read the Nectar of Devotion. Read it. Read what is Dasyaras and read what is Shantaras. Then you'll understand. Shantaras means you're seeing the Lord with awe and reverence, but you don't do any service. There's no service to the Paramatma. So that's Shanta. Dasya begins. Like an example of Dasya is Hanuman serving Lord Ram. That is Dasya. Like that. So.
But falling at his feet, touching his feet, giving his feet.
Yeah, he only just saw him. Up until now, it's been Shanta. But now he's seen the Lord, then maybe it's developing into a higher. You're right, now it's developing into like a Dasya.
That's what I mean
from here, it's the more that
it's
in this place, so this turns to Dasya as well. Yeah. Any other points? You mean like shivering? Tears coming from the eyes, complexion changes, colours, perspiration. All this is described in the later sections of the Nectar of Devotion. It's called Ashta Sattvika Bhavas. great, all these things are described by the Buddha Goswami. So this is a description of Prema Bhakti. And Prema Bhakti is the? Yeah, the goal. And the goal is called? In Sanskrit? Yeah, or? Sadhya, yeah, or? Prayojana. Sambandha. Mahaprabhu says, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sambandha means Krishna. Krishna, Sambandha. Because everything is Krishna. But not everything is Krishna. So that is Sambandha. That is understanding the complete relationship of everything. How everything is one with God, but different from Him. Right? And then Abhideya. Abhideya means bhakti. Bhakti Abhideya. The process of becoming purified is bhakti. And bhakti has 64 angas. What's that? That is the process. And prema, prayojana. The goal is prema. That is the prayojana, or the goal, or the essence of the Vedas. The essence of existence or life is prema, to get love for Krishna. So, prema is being described here. When one has love for Krishna, this is the goal, that one will see Krishna and one will feel like one is drinking the form of Krishna. The senses amalgamate. One feels like one is completely tasting Krishna. With his eyes, he feels like he's tasting his beauty. So that is why when we see the deities, we must see the deities for a long time. Devotees, especially in ISKCON, we get in the habit of only seeing the deities for a short time. We just walk into the temple, right, offer obeisances, right, in front of the three altars, just move across, take some charanamrita and then walk out. Like that. But that's not actually the process. The process is that we should see the deities for a long time. Right? Especially on days like Janmashtami. Sometimes we're busy because we have so much service to do. But when we have time, like especially days on Janmashtami, those days when we have time, then we should spend long periods of time with the deities. Chanting in front of them and absorbing ourselves in them and tasting their beauty. And this is how we develop prema. This is how we develop love for Krishna. Because it's part of sadhana. Part of sadhana is to meditate on the form of the Lord. Narad Muni instructed Dhruva, you go to the forest, you chant the holy name, and you worship the deity. So Dhruva Maharaj is obviously not just casually looking at his deity occasionally, like we do. Like we walk in and out of our house, our deities are there all the time, and we just casually and occasionally look at them. But no, it means drinking the nectar of the beauty of their form. Right? Meditating on their form for a long time. When Jagatarini Mataji first took us to Jagannath Puri, and she took us to the deity of Tota Gopinath, who is the deity which was worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit, which is one of the most important deities in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, then she said to us, you must take darshan of Gopinath for a long time. So we just sat there for half an hour, 1 hour or something, I don't know how long we were there for, we just took darshan of Gopinath. And all the devotees were during kirtan, and we just sat there and we just took darshan of Gopinath. That is bhakti, that is devotion. To relish the form of the Lord, the beauty of the form of the Lord. And when one chants the holy name while meditating on the form of the Lord, remembering his qualities, remembering his pastimes, nama, rupa, guna, lila, then when one is absorbed like that, then one gets so many realizations about Krishna. So we have to afford that time. That is part of our sadhana. Part of our sadhana is to regularly spend time absorbed in meditating on the deities. This will rapidly advance us in Krishna consciousness. Because we want to make rapid advance. We want to make the relationship with the Lord real and tangible and deep and affectionate. So we have to develop affection. Something has to change in the heart. There has to be emotions begin to attachment, or rag has to develop in relationship to Krishna, in relationship to the deities. You have to become attached to the deities. attached to Radha Shyamasundara, attached to Radha Madhava, attached to Radha Vallabha, attached to the form of the Lord who you worship. Now, this is the process of Krishna consciousness. Okay. So you have to spend time with the deities in order to develop this attachment. Okay. Any questions or comments?
No, on ordinary day maybe we find you can get some time to stand in front of Radha, but not in Janmashtami day on other day. Those days you hardly get your alarm to stay there.
No, not in the morning. Later in the day.
But so you can sit inside during the Abhishek.
I go in there 10 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning. I go in there early before the crowd comes. I know. So if Janmashtami is not your day, then find your day. And the point is there. I'm trying to make a point, so you work out the details in the book. Any other points?
It's so hard to see the details of the face of Balarama.
Because?
Because they have painted in black.
Painted in black?
And they have made him so black. He's not that
much. He's made of black marble. There's no paint on his face.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's made of black marble. That's his colour. There's no... Yeah, his shell. All the deities are shell. You go to India, all the deities of Krishna are black.
No, not in Jyoti. Not at all.
I'm not saying all. I mean, there's a few who aren't. But I'm saying generally. Think of most of the deities of Krishna. Most of them are black. All the Goswami's deities are black. All the deities are black, except a few.
In South India, they're all black.
No. Yeah, so that's what I mean. Yeah, it's a few who aren't, but most of them are.
I haven't seen Krishna in black form, Prabhu.
See, he's always black. Do you understand the?
No.
If no, Sharadarata. He's always black, so. If you're more attracted to the white form, then you can worship.
I want to see Radha Radharani's face is
white.
So
a shark. Yeah. So Radha Gopinath in Sydney is white.
Yeah.
Radha Landanishwara is white.
Yeah.
Radha Gokulananda is white. So maybe you can worship them.
Huh?
I don't know.
No, I
want to
see the
shark
face.
The teacher, she's
an
Indian
officer.
Yeah, I don't think we can do anything about it. If you have a problem, you have to go and speak to him directly.
Yeah.
I mean, temple means
he's
society should be definitely absorbing to some devotees.
He's available at 9 o'clock.
Huh?
So if you go and speak to him at 9 o'clock, then. And take it up with him. Any other points? Okay. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a small boy, he wanted to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in suitable language. But because he was inexperienced, he could not adjust himself immediately. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, could understand Dhruva Maharaj's awkward position. Out of his causeless mercy, he touched his conch shell to his forehead, to the forehead of Dhruva Maharaj, who stood before him with folded hands. So, naturally, when you meet someone very great, you want to say something in glorification of them. But quite often we all have the experience that when we meet someone very great, we feel like we can't say anything. Very common. Like when you come before your spiritual master. Sometimes you ever have the experience when you come before your spiritual master, you don't know what to say. Right? And you start sounding like you're very foolish. And you start turning a little bit red. And you're standing there and you're trying to think of something intelligent to say. You don't know what to say or what to do or like that. So is that Dhruva Maharaj's feeling in front of Krishna? He wants to glorify Krishna. He wants to glorify Lord, the Lord Narayan. but he feels I cannot say anything appropriate. I don't have the qualification to speak. So therefore, the Lord, he fulfills the desire. So he touches him on the forehead with his concha. He benedicts him, and he gives him the potency. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that the potency to speak about Krishna comes from Krishna. Right? It is... what's the words that Prabhupada uses? It is the inspiration of Krishna. It is the qualification that comes from Krishna. It is the dictation that comes from Krishna. When we preach, we have to learn to give up our attachment to thinking we are the doer. Because very often, when we preach, we think, I'm giving such a nice class. We think it is ourselves that are preaching. We think, I am speaking so nicely. I'm convincing all these people. I'm such a good preacher. So we think like this in our consciousness. Right? I am very qualified. I should not put my pen in my mouth. Like that. So that's how we think. Right? But when we become a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, then what is our consciousness? Right? Our consciousness is Krishna is inspiring me. It is Krishna who is giving me the inspiration to speak. And we don't keep that credit for ourselves. Right? We have to learn to do that. Understand that the inspiration is coming from Krishna. And that from that inspiration, then we are speaking something about Krishna. Like that. One time one reporter was saying to Prabhupada, where do you get the inspiration to write your books? And Prabhupada said that when I write my purport, then Krishna is sitting beside me and he is dictating to me. And I am writing the purports. And then Hridayananda Maharaj was there and he said to the reporter, he said, what Prabhupada means is that when he is writing his purports, then... Hey Brinda, what's happening? Huh? Very much like her father. when Prabhupada was dictating, he said that it was Krishna who was giving him the potency. And then Hridayananda Maharaj said to the reporter, he said, what Prabhupada means is that it is Krishna who is giving him the inspiration from within the heart to write. And Prabhupada said, no. Krishna is sitting next to me and Krishna is dictating and I am writing down. So for the devotee, this is how he understands, because actually this is the situation. When we are preaching, it is Krishna who is inspiring us to preach. Right? If we can say anything which is beneficial to the audience, that is Krishna giving us inspiration to preach. Right? And we have to learn to give the credit to Krishna. We have to learn to give the credit to our spiritual master. So much of the time we try to keep the credit. In our mind we think, oh, it is so nice. I'm giving such a nice class. And devotees come up afterwards and say, oh, it was a nice class. And you say, oh, thank you, like that. But in your mind you're thinking, oh, I'm giving a good class like that. But actually it is Krishna who is giving the inspiration. Right? And one who is a good devotee, then they give the credit to Krishna. So we have to learn to do this. We have to change our consciousness. And instead of thinking, I am the doer, kataham iti manyate, I am the doer. That is false ego. Ahankara vimudhatma. You are a vimudha. Because you think, I am doing it. Kataham, it is me. Then that means you are a mudha. One who is actually intelligent, he understands, is Krishna who is giving the inspiration. Any points?
In history also we find the same, like in Bhaktivedanta, when he was to complete a particular line, he finds that the Lord himself comes and then actually completes that line.
Who was that?
Jayadeva
Goswami. Yeah.
We find in Telugu literature also, Portman is a great devotee who translated Srimad Bhagavatam into Telugu. Mm-hmm. And there also he was not able to complete a particular line, and Lord Rama, he is still there. He himself appears and then
Any other points? At that time, Dhruva Maharaj became perfectly aware of the Vedic conclusion and understood that the Absolute Truth and his relationship with all living entities, in accordance with the line of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, whose fame is widespread. Dhruva, who in the future would receive a planet which would never be annihilated, even during the time of dissolution, offered his deliberate and conclusive prayers. So Prabhupada explains that Dhruva Maharaj, once he was touched by the Lord, then he became qualified to speak. And he spoke very intelligent verses. So this was coming by the Lord's benediction, because he's only a five-year-old boy. Five-year-old children don't have so much capacity to speak eloquently. But by the Lord's mercy, he was able to speak very intelligently, very elevated Sanskrit verses like that. So how does this take place? It takes place by devotion. Krishna says, Teshan, Satta, Yuktanam, Bhajatam, Priti, Bhavata, Vidami, Buddhi Yogamtam, Yenamam, Upayanti. Then Krishna explains that to those who are constantly devoted to serving him with love, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So this is how our ability, any ability which is given to the devotee, it takes place by the mercy of Krishna in reciprocation for that devotee's devotion. So when a devotee has great devotion, then the devotee gives so much ability. A good example is Jadarani, who was one of Prabhupada's early disciples. She was married to Satyarupa Maharaj. She, if you see her very early paintings, if you look in the old volumes of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you see there's a picture of the Panchatattva, which was painted by Jadarani, which is somewhat simplistic, like that, compared to more elaborate art, like that. And it's much better than what I could paint, but it is still, for an artist, is somewhat simplistic. But now you see her more recent art, and then you see within, say, 10 years, you know the picture of Nrisingadev, which is most famous in ISKCON, which we worship on the altar. They're very... So she painted that picture. So it was within 5 or 10 years, you see how much her art developed from something which is quite simplistic to something which is very realistic and elaborate. Right? Very excellent art. So all this comes from devotion. And when you have devotion in your service, then Krishna gives you the ability to serve him. So to become an advanced devotee means you must understand that Krishna has given you this ability. Right? Because when we're near five devotees, then we get some ability from Krishna, and then what do we think? We think that ability is coming from me. Krishna gave it to you, but then you take credit for it. Utsaha Mayi, right, is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kadambini, that we become puffed up with enthusiasm. When we first learn to give classes, and then we begin to preach and like that, and then we give some classes and we think, oh, I'm one of the greatest preachers in ISKCON. I've become so talented, so great in my preaching, and we've only just begun. Okay. So we don't understand the ability is being given by Krishna. But as we advance and we understand, we have to understand that the ability is given by Krishna. Okay. So one must be very careful what one desires in Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada explains that as the devotee advances in Krishna consciousness, he gets more facility and more ability. So you have to be very careful what you desire, because your desires are fulfilled. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, what did he want? He wanted a kingdom greater than his father and his grandfather. So he got it. So you have to understand this is the nature of bhakti. So be very careful what you desire, because you will get it. Devotion is very powerful. Bhakti is very powerful. Krishna consciousness is very powerful. Krishna is extremely powerful. So whatever you do, you will get those things. So be very careful what you desire, even subtly. Sometimes we do devotional service, and in the back of our heart there's some material attachment, and then Krishna gives you that thing. And so be very careful what you desire, because this process is powerful and it can give whatever you desire. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name of Krishna is Chintamani, which means it is wish fulfilling. Chintamani. Yeah, so we must be careful what we desire, because those desires can easily be fulfilled.
But he said, because we could ask you so many things, we've got to give, but we don't know whether it's going to be good for us. So, but Krishna is supposed to be purifying those desires, certainly. Yeah, of course, he does it, but don't leave all the work up to him. No, I mean, that's right.
If you say to Krishna, Krishna, I want a Mercedes-Benz, and you purified me for that desire.
No, but even when I think, okay, you can find some loopholes, and you may give it to me in such a way that I might not enjoy it. So I just don't, make everybody happy that you give them what they, it's good for them.
Yes, they say to Krishna, give me a Mercedes, and then teach me not to enjoy it. Yeah, so the point is, do not ask Krishna for material things, because you will get those things. That's the point. Devotional service is very powerful. So if you desire material things, you'll get it. We all desire material things. I have material desires in my heart. But the danger is that you'll get these things. So therefore, from our side, we should learn to renounce our material desires.
Yes, that's what I say.
Krishna will take care of his side.
That's why I said, he purifies us to say that give us things that will make us happy rather than you've got to be happy in this life to, but not give me this, give me that, or give me what is suitable. Of course, Prabhupada says you have to deserve first before you desire, right? So instead of asking him this, this, and this, giving him a list, you can say that. One thing, we've got to accept what he gives, but still make everybody happy, give them what they want that they can be happy with them. Because otherwise, if you ask for something, you could find loopholes in something that you will get more adverse effects from that rather than be happy with it.
Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. Sounds a little bit too complicated for me, the whole. Yeah, because then you're worried about the loopholes and all the rest
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
We should don't worry about it. Just chant, and whatever comes, and be happy. And that's enough. Don't get too caught up in the whole thing. Don't make it too Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Oh, there's one verse in from the Padma Purana.
One of the reasons that we say to people not to pray to demigods is that fulfill the desires without going much into it, but that's the reason we pray to Krishna.
Mm.
So it is not that when we pray to Krishna the desires are fulfilled such that the second desires are not coming up again after this.
But still the point is we should not go towards Krishna with material desires. That's the point. Because if you do, you'll get those things. And devotees understand we don't want those things. It's automatic. Those things will come anyway. So don't desire those things from Krishna. Okay, it says akama, sabakama. So if you have the desires, okay, go to Krishna anyway. Right? But the devotee has to learn that is not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means anya vilashita shunya. It should be free from desires. So we have to work from our side on freeing our heart from motivations other than just to serve Krishna. Pure devotional service means, is Krishna happy? You're thinking about Krishna's happiness. Mixed devotional service means, Krishna, I want this. Can you give it to me? And I understand that you'll give it to me in such a way that won't. Why do that?
No.
Why not just aspire for pure devotional service? That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching. So we should aspire for that. Okay, if they're there, then go. I have material desires in my heart, I know. Right? I have petty and trivial things I'm attached to that I should not be attached to, and they're ridiculous. But still there's some attachment there. So we go on and we're aware of those things, and Krishna, he fulfills those desires. But then we realize what a fool we are. We're asking for something which should not be asking for. Okay. Dhruva Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses, my hands, legs, ears, touch sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you." So one time Prabhupada was at the airport, and the devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what do you see?" And Prabhupada said, "Flapping dead bodies." Everyone's just walking around, but actually, no life. Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is what it is like before you're a devotee. There's actually no life there. Everyone's just asleep. Usually we say when someone's asleep, they're asleep, and when they're awake, they're awake. But from the Bhagavatam's perspective, everyone is asleep. Even when they're awake, they're asleep, because the soul is sleeping. Right, there's useless activities and conversations. Useless. Just like you meet so many people and just the conversation is just useless. Shrama eva hi kevalam, useless waste of time. Activities and conversations which lead to nothing, have no importance. Right, have no nothing important about them whatsoever. And people take it all so seriously. So Bhagavatam says everyone is just dreaming. Everyone is just sleeping. Is all illusion. So Dhruva said, "I was like that. I was just in a sleep. Now I'm seeing you. This is reality. Reality is when we see Krishna. Up until when we see Krishna face to face, everything is just a dream. Not just a dream for us, because we're doing sadhana bhakti. So therefore we're getting purified. But when we see Krishna, that's a reality. At this point in time, we're doing devotional service, but it is sadhana. But the goal is sadhya. Sadhya means transcendental devotional service. When we worship Krishna with purified senses in a spiritual form. Right? That is pure devotional service. That is what we're aiming for. That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching. Right? What we're doing now is just practicing. We're just using this form we happen to have, and we're practicing with that form. Rishikena Rishikesha, Sevana Bhakti Uchati. We're doing a type of sadhana with this form to purify ourselves, so that we can reawaken that original form. But that is transcendental devotional service. Pure devotional service is rendered with a pure devotional form, which is free from all material contamination. Like that.
So we are seeing Giridhar Maharaj face to face. Pure devotional service?
No, it's sadhana, because pure devotion means you have tears in your eyes. Are tears are in your eyes when you see him? Yeah, but I'm saying if you realized who he was, then there would be tears in the eyes. Do you understand the point? Do you have tears in your eyes when you look at him in the eye? Yeah, but that's not not fully developed. So it's sadhana, it's practicing. Sadhana leads to sadhya. But we don't have sadhya yet. We don't have perfection yet. We're just practitioners. We're just sadhakas. Okay. "My Lord, you are the Supreme One. But by your different energies, you appear differently in the spiritual and material worlds. You create the total energy of the material world by your external potency. And after creation, you enter within the material world as the Super Soul. You are the Supreme Person, and through the temporary modes of material nature, you create varieties of manifestations, just as fire, entering into wood of different shapes, burns brilliantly in different varieties." So, Dhruva Maharaj is only 5 years old, and now he is speaking the philosophy of the Bhagavata, Achincha, Veda, Veda, Tatva. He's seeing that Krishna is simultaneously one with and different from everything. So that is his realization. And there's the potency of bhakti. If one has bhakti, then, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, tesham satatayu dhanam bhajitam bhuti purvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam. If you have devotion to Krishna, then Krishna can give you realizations which are beyond your capacity. But he can give you higher realizations. As you advance in Krishna consciousness, you get realizations, you get deeper and deeper realizations, but they're not ours. It is what is given to us by Krishna. Krishna reveals different things to us. Because satata yuktanam, because you are engaged, tadami buddhi yogam tam, then tadami, I give the understanding by which you can come to me. I give you realizations. I allow you to understand me. So Krishna gives all of this when he sees the devotee is sincere. So that is the process of bhakti. Okay. So Dhruva Maharaj had the sincerity, and then Krishna awarded him very advanced realizations. How else could a 5-year-old child speak this kind of realization and this kind of Sanskrit verse? Not possible. O my master, Lord Brahma is fully surrendered unto you. In the beginning you gave him knowledge, and thus he could see and understand the entire universe, just as a person awakens from sleep and visualizes his immediate duties. You are the only shelter of all persons who desire liberation, and you are the friend of all who are distressed. How, therefore, can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? So Prabhupada makes an interesting comment in the purport. He says, about halfway down the first paragraph, a devotee always feels obliged to Krishna for having achieved increased power in devotional service by his grace. So a devotee receives increased power in devotional service. A devotee becomes more and more powerful. You see, so many devotees have become powerful in devotional service. They practice sadhana for many, many years and have attained great levels of potency. So all this comes by Krishna's grace. A devotee will become very powerful in devotional service. Where is his power derived from? From Krishna. By the mercy of the spiritual master. So this is the realization of a devotee. A devotee doesn't think, I have become such a good cook. I have become such a good kirtan leader. I have become such a good class giver. I have become such a good preacher. Like that. Devotee doesn't think like that. He thinks that Krishna has what?
Grace.
Yeah, Krishna has grace. Krishna has given me some ability. Yeah, Krishna has improved. Like that. I used to not be so good at this, but now I can do it more. I have more ability now. So this has come by Krishna's mercy. Like that. So a devotee has to learn to give the credit to Krishna, like that, instead of keeping the credit for ourselves. And the last verse for tonight. Persons who worship you simply for the sense gratification of this bag of skin are certainly influenced by your illusory energy. In spite of having you, who are like a desire tree and are the cause of liberation from birth and death, foolish persons such as me desire benedictions from you for sense gratification, which is available even for those who live in hellish conditions. So Prabhupada explains in the parable, those who lack knowledge, they worship the Lord for sense gratification. How foolish are we that we go before Krishna and ask for sense gratification? Krishna, give me sense gratification. Krishna, give me money. Krishna, give me pleasure from the opposite sex. Okay. So this is just gross ignorance. That we approach Krishna for material desires. Right? Instead of approaching Krishna for asking Krishna for the opportunity to be engaged in service. When Prabhupada used to approach his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the only question he would ask, generally, is, how shall I serve you? That is the mood of a devotee. When we come before the deities, our mood is, how shall I serve you? What would you like me to do? Please indicate to me through my guru. Please indicate to me through the other devotees how you would like me to serve you. That is the attitude of the devotee. Not that we go to Krishna asking for things all the time. That is Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtadhikari means you walk in the temple, you ring the bells, right? You bow down, put some money in the hundi, right? And then bring out your petition, right? That your child has to pass his university exam. So this is what people ask for. It's Kanishtadhikari. So we should be Majjhimadhikaris. We are Majjhimadhikaris. We should be. We should not ask Krishna for material things. Krishna, give me this. Krishna, give me that. Krishna, help me. Okay. Krishna will look after us. We have that faith. Simply we ask Krishna, what can I do? Okay. Krishna will take care of us. That's not a problem. Yeah, Prabhupada was asking Krishna, please make me wealthy so I can spread Krishna consciousness. Yeah, that's okay if you have that same life desire like Prabhupada. If you're asking for wealth that you can use for preaching, and if you use it for preaching, then it's no problem. But if you ask for wealth for preaching, then you don't use it for preaching. That's not good. So, okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.